Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football, presented by Dr. Pepper and Hooters. Your home to watch all the college game day action with an ice-cold Dr. Pepper. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Auburn's new AD may be staring down a difficult and extremely unfair challenge, and he chose it. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Tuesday, and Auburn did not hire Ole Miss. I mentioned this yesterday a little bit because it was really tempting to go more big picture and a little off field because Auburn ain't got another game and Ole Miss doesn't have one for like a month. And so we had to prioritize. And I started yesterday's show by saying there are 12 huge monster takeaways. We have to ignore 10 of them right now. Because on a Monday, first of all, it's for winners. And secondly, and I'm not being snarky there, Auburn didn't win, Ole Miss didn't win. So that's just the bottom line. Plus, the fact that it's the last week before Championship Saturday, I just couldn't talk, no matter how big it is, involving my school and the biggest, most important season-determining conference in the sport. I was like, no, we can't talk Ole Miss and Auburn. But I did mention it. I said, of the storylines that are huge and monster and worthy of talk, but we ain't got time. We have to talk on field, like what Michigan did and what Clemson didn't and all of this. I said, it's a huge story that Ole Miss still has its coach. It's a huge story that Auburn doesn't have a coach. It's a bigger story to me in some way that because Auburn will get a coach. They just don't have one. So that's a huge story that they went for Lane Kiffin and didn't get him. So Auburn doesn't have a coach. That's a bigger story. Ole Miss does have a coach. Supposed to be their AD going, I'd like to introduce everybody, and then whoever it was. Supposed to be doing that today in Oxford. But didn't turn out that way. And there wasn't anything official when we were on yesterday. And I always say, folks, I'm not breaking news. I don't do that anymore. I don't even try to do that anymore. I'm going to tell you, do you remember when A.J. Green got suspended 4 games to start the 2010 season? I had that story first. I broke it. Chuck Oliver did it. Except I broke that it was a 2-game suspension. And I go, I don't think I've ever said that. You know who told me that? Chuck Dowdle told me. He told me he's like, you can go with this. Don't attach it to my, this 12 years ago. He said, it's going to be announced as a 2-game suspension. I literally heard it from the sideline reporter who went to Georgia and was a varsity letterman and did all, Chuck Dowdle, who I've known for 20-plus years and had never been wrong. I was like, yeah, I ain't going with it. So, and it was 4 games, not 2. And I was like, dang. So, whatever. I moved on from that. And so I wait now until I hear from either the person or the school, and I've heard from both, and they're having the press conference, and so Hugh Freeze is the new head coach. When I say that Auburn's new AD maybe staring down a difficult and extremely unfair challenge, but he chose it. Here is that challenge. An angry and motivated SEC fan base does not require their emotions to be based on truth. That's the difficult and unfair challenge. The angry, motivated fan base, it doesn't matter if what they're angry about is true. The Chiano thing up in Knoxville at the end of the 17 season, if you're looking for angry and motivated SEC fan base, now that's an extreme example. But it's an example. That Chiano quote stuff the Shiano stuff, this is what I'm saying, where it's difficult and in this case extremely unfair for that was John Damn, wasn't that John Curry? Wasn't that the guy's name? And then he got booted and got a payoff and he went and got another job, right?
Yeah, that was him.
Okay, so John Curry was the AD for, I don't know, a couple weeks. And so difficult and extremely unfair, there's a reason he got fired, because he hired Greg Schiano. And the Schiano stuff wasn't even true. That's why, for John Curry, difficult, unfair, yeah, I lost my job over it. I hired a guy. And what made the fan base angry and then motivated, start painting rocks and doing stuff, it wasn't even true. Didn't matter. I got fired. And Schiano never got the job. But it was enough justification, ammo, pick your word, for the UT fan base. And those people in the fan base got their way. The Brian Harsin stuff wasn't true. And the Auburn, I'll say, fans who instigated that, who helped fuel it, truth wasn't any sort of priority. Getting their way when it comes to football coaching, that was the priority. And just like in Knoxville, those people got their way. Well, now, what do you mean? They eventually did get their way, didn't they? Yeah, they did. Now, the big issue for John Cohen is the Hugh Freeze stuff is true. Now, it's true when it happened like 5+ years ago, but it's still true. And parts of the Auburn fan base want nothing to do with Hugh Freeze. And there are some of those folks who I do not criticize. You're a fan or an alum or a booster or all of it. Whatever. You're an adult. You get to choose. I don't get to choose how you are. You get to choose who you are. What I'm saying is you're grown. You get to choose what your standard is for morals, ethics, athletic achievement of your school. You get to choose what, in balance with the HOA and covenants, you get to choose what your front yard looks like. I don't have to like it. As long as you don't have like a chain link fence in the front yard, Dan, do we agree? That's like the bottom of like being a good chain link fence in the front yard's a tough look.
Yeah, you probably want to go wrought iron.
Yeah, I mean, you're at above ground pool at that point, you know? So, and I'm in the South and I have relatives, and so I know of what I speak. So I've gone to many a Thanksgiving through the chain link fence in the front yard. You get to choose what you really have as a standard for ethics, morals, again, athletic achievement, whether you think putting a washing machine on the front porch is an okay idea, your house, you get to decide all that. And if it's what you really believe, I sweat my hand to the Lord. I'm on your side. I support whatever it is you're thinking. Roll with it. If that's really what you believe. My thoughts are about any Auburn fan who is using events from 2013 to 17 as justification to pile flaming tires on top of the program that you support. I'm trying to help you, folks. The program that you want to win every Saturday. You're like, give me a Michelin. I got some unleaded. Whew. Look at it burn. It's your program. And you may get your way, but you won't have won anything. And I'm saying not anything that you want. And for anyone listening right now who thinks, no, the folks back in March, they got their way from the embarrassment with Harsin and that investigation. They got their way eventually. What I said is you may get your way, but you won't have won anything that you wanted. Well, what are you talking about? I won that Harsin got fired. No, I ain't what you won. There are several reasons Lane Kiffin passed on the job. One of them is you. The Ole Miss coach looking at the Auburn job and declaring, yeah, I'm good. That is what you won in March. That's what you have done to the Auburn program that you buy the tickets from and the hoodie and you go to the games and you tailgate at 8 a.m. for the 3:30 start. That's the program you love. Michelin, unleaded. Because today, literally, right now as I'm speaking, and you don't have to like I said, you got an issue with Hugh Freeze on a true personal level, moral level. You may not think he's a great football coach. He can't win unless he cheats, and what he did to get players at Ole Miss, you can do that everywhere. Now, whatever it is, I'll have the discussion. I swear to you I will. I think he's a good coach, and I think he develops quarterbacks. I'll take that. But it's the other group, and it's the fringe that with some fan bases appears to be a little bit more substantive than a fringe. I am talking to the fringe, the far down the avenue, www.blackhelicopter.conspiracy.alt, whatever. I'm talking to the fringe crazy that every fan base has and you like, and it's the reason that 24/7 gets subscriptions. I mean, it's fantastic. But crazy is supposed to be limited to half my face is blue and the other is orange on game day. That's supposed to be crazy. Crazy is supposed to be how much you send in a check to the donation every year to get your. That's supposed to be crazy, but you love it and it's emotional and you went there and that's all great crazy. Today, I'm talking to a different group. Today, literally right now as I am speaking, there are some of the same people who have damaged the program publicly, repeatedly, making it their day's priority to do it all again. I'm an Auburn grad. I will send in my check. I will root for the team to win. I will not go down this avenue to try to get my way, whether I agreed with it or not. So there's a right way and a wrong way to do everything. And if this turns into a different version of what happened in March, folks, I promise you, you're not winning anything that you want. The Ole Miss coach just passed. That's a hint and a half, man. I promise you.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
It's been a long time since we've had this feeling, but that's where we are today. So get back to work on Monday and see if we can go win this league. You know, again, thankful that we've earned the opportunity to get back to our championship. 7 out of the last 8 years, so an opportunity to go win the league. That would be a huge and positive ending to this season.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Not going to make too much of this. I'm not. But there was so much about Dabo who I really, really, really genuinely, I say I like him on a personal level. I love that he's in charge of a football program. He's a great guy. And for everything you get, there's new fans of Dabo. There's long-term fans of Dabo. I don't know that there's a third category. I thought it could have been a much better moment for him Saturday after the game. That part of his comments, and I mentioned this yesterday, following the home loss to South Carolina, South Carolina wins 31-30, beats Clemson Saturday in Death Valley. I mentioned yesterday that when you are throwing praise at the opponent, there needs to be a period, not a comma. And what I think I heard and read and saw from Dabo post-game was instant after instance of Dabo throwing well-deserved and heartfelt and genuine bones to Beamer and South Carolina's kids about the great job they did preparing, and then he went to his resume over and over and over and over, and Dabo Swinney is about the last guy in college football that needs to cite the resume. And you say, well, what about Saban? He's got a lot. Saban's at Alabama. Do you know what happened at Alabama before? Another guy won like Bear won six titles there, correct? Yeah. You win six national championships, and then you somebody else wins six, and then you come in? All right, well, resume, are you sure you want to go there? It might not be a good idea, Nick. And after, you know what, can I use the word only when I say three national championships? After only three national championships, hey, check yourself, Saint Saban. Yeah, he ain't got three anymore. He ain't got four. He ain't got five. Is he dealing with six at Bama and seven overall? Is that the resume for Saban? So you know what Saban never does? He never does the resume. And he could. Dabo did the resume, and here's why I bring up Nick Saban. He's at a place that had Bear Bryant. Danny Ford, 1981. There's your collection of natties. And you own that conference during the entire decade of the 80s, and then Florida State showed up, and it wasn't yours anymore. And so then Dabo happened, and Dabo has been – the reason I bring up the Danny Ford is not to knock your dig your gig your anything like that. It's to say – that's why Dabo, more than any other coach, I think, in FBS, doesn't have to go to the resume. You had one before me. Now you got three. One before me, two with me. So you don't have to go to the resume. And so it's one of those, hey, I want to apologize. Heartfelt apologies if you were offended. That's not an apology. Hey, I want to apologize. I was meaning to – that's not an apology. That's you explaining, wanting another bite at it. And so there was a lot of praise, and he meant every word of it, throwing to South Carolina. There was a lot of resume. Quote, you know, again, thankful that we've earned the opportunity to get back our championship seven in the last 8 years. I knew that. I think we went for 200-plus yards rushing. I think it's only the second time I've been a head coach that we've lost that we've rushed for 200-plus. Okay, he didn't think they went for 200-plus. He checked the stats and said, oh, 236. He didn't, I think it's only the second time. No, you know. You know what you know. What do you do? It's the second time I've been here that it's happened. That's how rare today is. That's how unusual what happened. That second time since I've been here. This is a game you never, ever want to lose. There's probably a reason nobody's won eight in a row in this series. Are you kidding me? That's comical to even think about. Do you realize what Dabo's purpose wasn't to point out how difficult it was to win eight? His purpose was to point out that we just won seven. 100% of what he just said, because think of the absurd nature of the point that he is pretending to make. Hey, folks, you may beat another team seven times in a row, but don't think you can make it eight. Not in this series. That's not what you say. You say... there's a reason nobody's won back-to-back in this series in a decade. There's a reason the road team hadn't won in 16 years. There's a reason. You don't say, hey, folks, there's a reason you can only cap out at seven straight in this series. That's nonsensical and absurd. His point wasn't to make any sort of declaration about who's going to win the Palmetto Bowl. His point was to make sure everybody understood, yeah, we've won the last seven. Quote, this is not a feeling we've had in a long, long time, but that's our reality today. And USC earned it. All right, stop. Stop, 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 stop. It was tough. It was in the moment. And I go back after the 2005 Georgia-Florida game in Jacksonville. I was doing local TV at the CBS affiliate in Atlanta, and we had a guy down in the locker room, the Georgia locker room, and they had a tough afternoon. And whatever the detail, it was either 05 or 06. They lost the game that day. And I think it was 06 because that would have been Stafford was a freshman. So Thomas Brown, who's one of the best people you'll ever meet coaching the NFL, just a good, good dude. Immediately after the game, let's throw to the Georgia locker room in Jacksonville. And Gil Tyree, who was down there, Thomas Brown, what are you feeling? Quote, it sucks and I hate it. And I was like, okay, that's not really where we thought Thomas was going to go. But I said, I don't hold him accountable. He's a kid who just lost a football game and we put a microphone in his mouth. Right after a game, I don't hold you accountable. Dabo knew what he was doing. When you start quoting, hey, we just won seven straight. Hey, we went for 200 plus. Hey, my record is like 57-2 now that we go. When you you knew what you were doing, and it was not the emotion right after the game. You went resume, dude. Don't go resume. Dan, don't go resume. How are you doing
He went
today?
Angelo Pappas in Point Break. That's what he did. You know who Angelo Pappas is. It's Gary Busey. It's every single time that somebody tried to challenge his hubris as an FBI agent, he immediately went to, I've been doing this since you were a little kid, and all these different types of things. And all throughout the movie, that was his entire thing. He doubled down on it, by the way, Chuck, if that makes you feel any better, that last night on his call-in show that he had somebody call in and ask about making changes because the passing game has been non-existent these last couple of years. He went back at the guy and said, hey, there's going to come a time where if some of y'all don't like the decisions that I make here, maybe it's time for y'all to hire somebody else.
Yeah, that was actually, if you think that's an idle, quote, threat, it's not a threat. It was a revealing comment because what did Steve Spurrier do at the – I got news for you. Dabo didn't play Clemson. Dabo played at Bama, all right? And Dabo didn't win a Heisman Trophy. Steve Spurrier did all that stuff and six SEC titles in 12 years and a national championship? Okay, Spurrier did all that and looked around and was like, I don't feel loved. I don't feel appreciated anymore. And so he took the high road. He's like, I'm going NFL. I'm out. Dabo, it's like I said, it's not a threat, but it is a revealing comment. I want to tell everybody around the footprint of the Chuck Oliver Show, get yourself into a Hooters. You can enter. We already gave away the tickets to the conference title game Saturday in Atlanta, hotel stay. We got the same thing, semifinal game in Atlanta. Hotel stay, courtesy of Dr. Pepper and Hooters. Get into a Hooters. Enter through the TV screen on your phone. If you hashtag out to social media, Hootersville, holding a Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper and Hooters give you another entrant. So it's all 100% off to enter. It's free. So get yourself into a Hooters anywhere in the footprint of the show. And you can enter at least once, maybe even twice. And we're giving away a pair of tickets to the semifinal and a hotel stay in Atlanta end of the month. So make sure that's you.
A lifetime of hard work, children laughing in the kitchen, family photos on a restaurant wall, a legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation, like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
More college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Tuesday on the Chuck Oliver Show. And I want to jump right into this with our regular bottom of hour one Tuesday guest, Dave Bartu. He is College Football Matrix, and he will not be with us next week. He will be out of the country, which Oregon, to a lot of us, is like, that's out of the country. No, that's just the other side of the country, but still us. Just way, way, way out west. But he'll be out of the country and won't be available next week. So we got a lot to cover. Dave, how are you?
Dude, I am doing great. Traveling in the country right now. The coaching search is nuts, man. Totally nuts. I didn't expect it to accelerate this fast in a G5. But it is absolutely crazy right now.
How much did Auburn's new AD pursue Lane Kiffin?
Oh, dude, I can't let you in on the secret sauce. And quite honestly, I don't know. But I don't know. I'm not privy to.
But there was pursuit.
It has to be, right?
Okay, I
mean, it had to be.
And so, when the pursuit included Hugh Freeze or turned to Hugh Freeze? Was he already a big target before Lane said, nah, I'm good?
I don't know if Lane said, nah, I'm good, right? I mean, there's no details there. There really isn't. You know, I hate to say it. I'm in the dark on all of this stuff. I didn't know, like you, I knew it was Hugh when you knew it was Hugh. really, you know, and I hate to throw a wet blanket on the whole process, but you never know everything. The one thing I have learned in this particular process, though, this year, because there are so few openings, almost an absolute huge ton of time is being wasted by agents trying to squeeze every dime out of everything. You know, so if your coaching search is going on forever and you're not hearing anything and it feels like it's stagnated and people start making crap up and saying, oh, this guy turned it down and they called this guy. Oh, and this is falling apart. It's probably just agent trying to get an extra $10. It's none of those things. Nobody, I haven't seen anybody be categorically right on anything this year. There's one search out there that has leaked a lot of things every time they interview somebody, and I think that feels like it's sideways. But other than that, nobody has gotten anything right on stuff that I've been working on. Not a dang thing.
Okay, I will come back to the Auburn, Hugh Freeze, Lane thing in just a second. Or is one example maybe of what you're talking about, an agent trying to wring out every last dollar or commitment or assistant coach budget or whatever. Does that scenario include Willie Fritz to Georgia Tech? Do you wish to comment on that?
No, I can't comment on that one either. I don't have any idea with regards to that. And that could definitely be a possibility. I don't deal with the agent side of it. You know, I'm
that's my understanding.
Guy, right?
That's my understanding down there, yeah.
And if that's it, right, because that's also stagnated. Well, you know, Willie's name was out there. You and I both saw it.
Yeah.
And that search is stagnated. And it's not going anywhere, and people are wondering what's going on. And now all of a sudden, you know, people start throwing stuff against the wall. They got no idea what they're talking about. And the entire time, it could simply be vetting and agents negotiating things out. It's fun being a fan because you're just dreaming up all this stuff that's happening behind the curtain. But quite honestly, it's boring as hell.
Okay,
here's
what I have learned about conversations, negotiations. Always backpedal until both people are standing on the same square. Like, let's get some common ground here. Let's see what we may agree on. Lance Leipold. Do you believe he's staying at Kansas? He did sign an extension. Let's at least start with Kansas.
Okay.
Because that's where Willie Fritz would go, I believe. Willie Fritz would go to Kansas if he left. So let's start with Leipold.
Well, I mean, you know, if you dominoed it out, if Leipold or Kleiman went to Nebraska, Willie, Kansas native, right? I mean, is he basically next man up at either program? I think he is. Right. I mean, I think that's how that domino falls instantly.
Do you think that's decided in Kansas and in the state?
I don't think it's decided, but that would be the logical path of least resistance.
I'm saying, do you think that has been decided that Kansas and K-State both retain their coaches? Do you think that those?
Yeah, I thought Kleiman, if Wisconsin, I was really sold on Leonard being at Wisconsin. And letting him and that staff go is, oh my gosh, man. I mean, it is, that staff is so good. It boggles my mind. And I really thought that Kleiman would have been next man up there. I really did. I didn't think, Luke Fickell has never left the state of Ohio in his life. He's always had an Ohio zip code. So I was a bit surprised that he went. I don't think Kleiman's going anywhere. There's nothing open for him to upgrade. I think Nebraska was it. Same thing with Leipold. I don't think there's anything open for him to upgrade.
And that makes sense.
Yeah. So I don't think any of those guys are going anywhere. I think all the churn right now is in the group of five.
But okay. So, all right, we found our square. We're standing now. Let's step out a little bit. Tell me, if you can, to what extent – if you were asked, and I am, about the Auburn job, in particular, that description of a program, and you were asked about, hey, what do you think about Hugh Freeze succeeding there? What do you think about, Lane Kiffin succeeding there? What would have been your opinion when all of this started and you heard, hey, Brian Harsin got fired? What do you think, Dave, about these two guys replacing him?
Well, just looking at the numbers, everybody gets caught up in the off field, you know, laying on Twitter, Hugh on this, Hugh on that. I look at what they have done on the field. Okay. And the most important thing is, what have they done on the field that could beat Nick Saban? Right. Because I love the Auburn program. I think it has a huge ceiling. It's a top 10 recruiter this century. They got huge resources there. But it comes down to the Iron Bowl and who's going to give you the best shot of beating Nick Saban. And you look at all the numbers that win in the SEC and all the numbers that try. I mean, there's not a whole lot of people that have beat Nick Saban, but it's offensive guys with a lot of talent. Okay. And so you look at all the numbers and you put Lane and Hugh side by side, Coach A and Coach B, they are phenomenally similar. They really are. Do I think one is that much better than the other? You know, something, I think it comes down to what fits at Auburn the best. Who's going to be at Auburn long term? Because it's very traditionalist. Nothing really changes there. They love their traditions at Auburn, and who is also going to best support that. So I look at the numbers, and I thought both of those guys were, in terms of needing to meet what it took to try to beat Nick and win in the SEC, I thought both of those guys were phenomenal. I really did. You know, the off-field stuff, I guess everybody will just have to sort through their own emotions on that. But on-field, they're both brilliant. Let's not try to degrade or improve one over the other. Lane is brilliant. Hugh is brilliant on the field. These are both really good coaches. And in my opinion, Hugh, by hiring Hugh, you are giving Auburn, with available coaches, the best ceiling to try to hit the ceiling of the talent at that program.
And because it's done now, absolutely. So it's already decided. As a postscript, if you are, a program like Auburn, that all the resources, history, all that, opportunity to win recruiting, in their situation, there is now the Cadillac done wrong narrative. And I'm like, you can't turn a program like Auburn over to the former player who had a four-week inspirational run, or five-week inspirational run. He's the running backs coach. We know what the running backs and the wide receivers coach can be. It's where you put a recruiter. And that's not – I'm not devaluing. I mean, I love Cadillac, and what he was, it absolutely was desperately needed. That's – you don't turn the program over to somebody with his coaching resume, I don't believe. What is your just general thoughts about – you look at the resume, profile, what Auburn is as a program. Just talk about the concept that someone says, you should have thought more about Cadillac.
The first question I would have, which we don't have an answer to, is what does Cadillac think? Did it cross anybody's mind that maybe that's not actually what he wanted as well? You know, I mean, that is because if you fail at that, you're never going to be a head coach again, right? There's an opportunity cost to it. Sticking around, learning under Hugh Freeze, and getting your own program and growing it, and becoming a head coach that way, you know, and maybe I'm wrong. You know, what I'm saying is, just because it's out there doesn't mean that's the direction that even the coach wants to go. I've talked to a lot of coaches, and it surprises me how many guys say, I didn't take that job because I didn't want that. That isn't the direction I saw my career going, you know? So, but imagine any top 20 recruiter. You're the new AD at any top 20 recruiter. Are you going to give it to an interim coach that's been, you know, head coaching for 4 weeks? You're not going to do that. You know, you're not going to risk the program. You're not going to risk your job. You know, and there's not a single AD out there at that level, I believe, that would take that risk. So you and I talk about this all the time, is understanding the situation. Hiring guys is the same thing as a football game being played. Situational analysis, you know, and so if you understand what Auburn needs and the situation they were in, she makes all the sense in the world.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, Deion Sanders, a source no less, says, oh yeah, I've got an offer from Colorado. That's Power 5, brother. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, more with my man Dave Bartu. He is College Football Matrix. That's nice.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Tuesday on the Chuck Oliver Show, bottom of hour one, we're going to be talking with Dave Bartu. He is college football matrix. He is a guy that you can turn to if you want a reliable, I don't know, statistical model, a reliable opinion about this is what is a likely outcome when it comes to adding or subtracting, changing personnel. David Shaw is out of a job, and Dave Bartu told he resigned or whatever it was, but he had been making about $9 million, the story comes out. Now, Stanford's private. They tell you pound sand. We ain't got to tell you what we pay. But my understanding was like $9 million or $9.5 million, and he resigned the other day after they lost. And so Dave Bartu told us, I don't know, about 5 months ago, hey, there's this guy that left his staff several years ago. That is the mark in time. It happened 2 weeks before Blomgren left. It happened 4 years after Blomgren. Like, that is the divider. That's kind of what he does. I want to welcome back on again, CFP Matrix. It is Dave Bartu. Dave, is that a fair estimation about your daily duties?
It is. It is. Right now, besides coaching searches, it's staff building. And, you know, two of our clients that brought us in 2 years ago are currently sitting in the top 20. Neither one have been in the top 25 in a long time. So really proud about that. So, yeah, it's not just the head coaching searches. It's also building the staffs because we got 7,000 coaches in our database. We can build a staff for anybody, anywhere. But Blomgren, absolutely. Now, that would be interesting if they went back there. Now, I'm going to throw another name out that is currently a hot commodity at a private school as well. Willie Fritz.
Okay. That would really undercut George Tech, but that's a better job, and I think that's – wow, wow, wow.
Right? No, I'm not trying to insinuate. They've even called him. Don't get me wrong. Okay,
no.
we are acting like we are reporters, knowing what we're talking about, except we're disclosing that we don't know what we're talking about. Okay, but if we're spitballing, I've heard Chris Peterson. Right, that would be cool for him because. No pressure. Nobody cares what Stanford does. Obviously, David Shaw resigned, you know, and maybe they politely asked him to, but it still took 3-9 to do it, and 1 in his last 19 in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
So I've heard Peterson's name out there. Blomgren ran a good show while he was there. He turned around Rice pretty good this year. Not great, but you know they were 5-7. But I don't think it can be that guy off of that kind of year. Willie's run, you know, a private school. In Tulane, down in Louisiana. So it would be – now, it doesn't really fit the mentality, but I do not believe Monken out of Army fits anywhere in the Power Five in the upper half of it, okay? I think it's gimmicky from the standpoint of it's going to take 3 to 4 years to implement. It's going to take 3 to 4 years to fix if it doesn't work, and he's never recruited at the G5 level, let alone the Power Five level. But I could see – the military discipline may be fitting in Stanford, but, you know, pretty open liberal campus to bring, a military coach in there. So I am really curious to see which direction they go because it's wide open and they can afford to buy anybody they want. They got a ton of money.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, Stanford's one of the OGs for, you know, liberal West Coast campus. And I'm not attaching any judgment to it. I mean, they used to be the Indians, right?
Yeah. No, there's no judgment to it at all.
Like, they were,
you know?
They were the first programs to move away from Native American imagery in their mascots. That's like 50 years ago almost they did that. So, and so you're right. It would be something that would get people's – and that is absolutely – the reason bringing it up is it absolutely would be something people at least notice if it's not a concern. Let's talk about Deion Sanders. Going from a place with really no budget, no real dedicated fan base that's spending money and sending in checks at Jackson State until he shows up, you know, there's this great bounce. He would be going to a Power Five, at least in very rough terms, a Power Five version of a program that doesn't have money, doesn't spend, et cetera. He says Colorado's offered him the job.
Cool. right? Cool. I mean, it's in my backyard, so I say that loosely because, you know, everything west of the Mississippi is basically in my backyard. But that would be phenomenally interesting because we do know Deion can recruit. Right. And for everybody listening, you may not realize it, but Colorado used to be a top 25 recruiter. Colorado. I mean, we know they won a national title, but this is a program that was
that before. I apologize. Was that before you had to spend?
It was probably before you had to spend, you know, but the yeah, it's before you had to spend, but it has the ability to pull something better than a top 50 class. Okay, and maybe a recruiter like Deion could do it. I don't know. I really don't. But I think it's worth a shot, and I think that would be fun. You also know that he is going to bring good defense. His defensive staffing, I believe, is underrated. Okay. In terms of his overall staffing, I like what he brings on the defensive side of the football. You know, the offensive numbers are good, but I think the real strength there is defense. So I'm curious as to what the staff would be at Colorado, because you and I both know basically Colorado is a rich G5. They don't have any money. They legally can't even spend money they have to overpay or even pay really, really good coaches. So
in state Colorado, there are kids in state who look at Colorado State and go, look at their new stadium, and that's a better program, or at least as an option for some kids, than Colorado, and that's Pac-12. Blows my mind.
Oh, it's just so restrictive there. So at Colorado, you need a great recruiter and a guy that is awesome at staffing with no money. Okay.
Deion,
you're getting one of the two, right? You're gonna get a great recruiter. The question is, can he staff consistently year over year?
Yeah, and anybody listening in Ocala right now, the reason we always talk about whether it's Colorado or I know Oregon State after somebody gets John, we talk about those because those are the schools that are gonna hire your coordinators, or potentially you're gonna hire their head coach when he's open. Jonathan Smith, has he vaulted himself? Is he in play for a quote bigger, better program? He's the Oregon State head coach.
I don't know if he wants to leave.
Okay.
I mean, that's one of the programs that we've helped build the staff over the last 2 years. Look where they're at. You know, it's one of the top staffs in the country now, and they're winning ball games. It was the number one defensive scoring efficiency program in the Pac-12 this year in a conference that had three top 10 offenses. So is he in line for it? Yeah. Why wouldn't you give that guy a call? Now, he's always been in the Pacific Northwest, Boise, yeah. Washington, sure. Oregon State. You know, if Dan Lanning ever left, if I was Oregon, I'd just go grab everything in Corvallis today, right?
Oh, you do the 2CU thing. Send the U-Haul across town.
Exactly. But, I mean, I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek because Dan's not going anywhere anytime soon. But I'm saying that because I feel that's where Jonathan Smith is at. What he has done at Oregon State would, if Oregon came open today, I believe that one of their top three choices on the draft board would bring him and everybody from Corvallis to Eugene.
Brother, it's one afternoon. That's all. It was one afternoon, and it actually was sort of the fourth quarter. That fourth down stuff from Lanning, it was a knife and a fork. He butchered that. He carved that stuff up at the end of the game. You lost your final three possessions, all ended going for it on downs.
Those were, and none of them, it's funny, the listening to the announcer saying, oh well, you know, the chart says probably to go for it here. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. We just ran our numbers. 73% of all the fourth downs that went for this year outside of the fourth quarter were not supported with positive point outcomes. They were all gut feels.
Dave, appreciate it as always, brother. 7 more days we'll do this. Have a 14 days. Appreciate you as always,
brother.
Man. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, Dave Bartu, he is CFB Matrix. And again, not next week. Dan, remember, you got to book somebody. So not next week with Dave, but then back into the hopper. And there will be a couple of more jobs that come open. And then Sunday is supposed to be a day where a lot of them, the ladder certainly gets filled, and then the top down happens from there.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats.
Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right, which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart. There needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com, and then call us for a free in-home consultation.